Okay, there we go. All right, pray with me for a moment and let's get started. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Father, for the breath of life. Thank you for the truth of your Spirit and your Word, that just the way that you lead and guide us into all truth, that you quicken us to see that which is real and that which is not, and also just the ability to move on that which is real, so that the maximum reality of what our life and our experience can and should be becomes the manifestation in our experience here during our time on and in and through this earth and this life experience. So Father, we just ask that you would quicken each and every one of us this day, and everyone that listens and hears this in the future. We ask that you would bless them, bless the listener, and quicken us with the truth, and be with us in this time. In Jesus' name. All right. Okay, let's go back to, so we are now in part two of a series that we started last week, and we're going to start with the foundational scripture. The series is the beast out of the sea, Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And then it goes on from there. Having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his head ten crowns, and upon the head the name of blasphemy. Goes on. But very rarely have I heard anyone speaking about the very premise, the very start of where this seven heads, ten horns, we have heard all kinds of people speaking about that, but not the fact that it came from out of the sea. And why is that important? And why is this foundationally important for our understanding of how the world is in the state that it's in? Why is the world in the situation that it's in? You know, many times people look at this world, they know something's wrong, they know that things could be different, but they can't put their finger on why. And then they turn around and they look and they say, well, how can such and such do this? How can these people over here do that? And the reason is, there is a reason behind it. And unless we understand where the reason is and where the legitimacy is drawn from for the actions, we will just be looking at this with a puzzled look on our face while all these things continue to escalate and bad things continue to happen all over the world. So last week, one of the things that we discussed was we touched on Luke 4, 1 through 7. We talked about Romans 13 and Daniel's chapter 3, and we established a principle of an understanding of jurisdiction. And that's also a larger spiritual principle, which is a spiritual principle of authority. Now, the spiritual principle of authority, which is something that I learned back in my days in D.C. with Pastor John Cherry, God rest his soul, the spiritual principle of authority was God's plan to protect your life. Now, if you look at how authority works, and how authority works in the scriptures, and how authority works in life in general, anytime that you, quote-unquote, come under any authority structure, that authority structure now has jurisdiction over your life. So when you were born into a family, for example, your dad, your mom had jurisdiction over you when you were born. And depending on how well they, you know, were there as your parents, you would either enjoy the blessing or suffer the consequence of how well they administered that authority. But that authority was there by sheer nature of you coming into this world in that place and that structure and that time. And that, as you continue on in your life and in your journey, when you, quote unquote, come of age, you get to an age of reason and an age of decision making, then you're able to make your own decisions, you're able to make your own choices. Ideally, you know, if you've been taught to learn to reason, to make rational and logical and thinking decisions for yourself, you can then begin to decide what resonates with you and what does not, what structures of authority that you will continue to live your life with, and then which ones you will put cast aside because they do not settle and they do not resonate with who you are. Now, when we look at who the Most High is, who now, even with Jesus, when he was manifest in the earth, he said, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. So now Jesus being truth, the manifestation of truth, so the highest form of authority that you can align yourself with is capital T, truth. That being, and when the Most High, so that's what's real. That's the manifestation of that which is real. Now, when we talked last week too, we talked about we talked about the word law. Here, we've got this nice, beautiful whiteboard here, so I'm going to start using some of these things. Okay, so we talked last week about the term L-A-W, the term law. Well, land, air, water, L-A-W, law. So, and this is why, too, sometimes when you see these words, they are not referring to the same thing. So when you see the word capital L, capital A, capital W versus capital L, lowercase a, lowercase w versus lowercase L, A, W, those are all three different types of law. So if you hear the word, but it's not necessarily the same thing. So the law of the air is natural law, spiritual law, divine law. That is the highest form. And that's where the spiritual universal, that which is universal to all. So everything that is a living being, everything that is all that is human on this earth, everything that is common to all of us, the law of the air, the natural law, the spiritual law, these are things that are universal across for everybody. So that is the highest form of jurisdiction, and for us to be able to understand that, then the application of that into our lives, that's why you can always appeal to the higher law. So simple principles from the scriptures, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then from that, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, these are spiritual principles that are there, that are at a higher level. So then the law of the land is where we get common law. That's where we get this, then that was the principle of the land. So in the law of the land, what we end up with there is pretty much in common law, you can't kill somebody else, you can't steal their stuff, you can't swindle them, and that's pretty much, you know, the extent of common law. You live and let live, you do right by other people, and if you violate common law, then there's a way to deal with issues that happen under common law. So when the United States, when America was set up with the original constitution, there's been several here by the way, but the original constitution of this nation, that was utilizing the highest levels of spiritual law and common law. Now the law of the law of the water, that is where we get admiralty law. That's where we get mercantile law. That's where we get the law of the water. Now, why is that important? Well, because these go in succession. So you can always appeal to a higher level when you have when you need relief from, say, a fallen or a misguided system. So if there's and then as you go up, as you escalate, so you, for example, with maritime law, in even the way that it's been applied, unless it, if it comes into conflict with common law, then it has to yield because it's a lower jurisdiction, it's a lower form, it's merchants, it's mercantile. It's so now, why did the beast come out from the water and from the sea and onto the land? See, this was a tactic that was utilized for the purpose of control. And it was utilized to allow for this beast system to function and have a form of legitimacy where it would not otherwise have such. So a question was asked, and there's a couple books that I've recommended recently to people. One of them is the UCC Connection, How to Free Yourself from Legal Tyranny. The other one is Meet Your Straw Man and Whatever You Want to Know. those are two books. You can look them up online. They're like $5 each. But they're good guides. But there's a question that was asked inside of here, which is a very interesting question on one of these, which was, the question was, let's see, was slavery legal? And the answer was yes, slavery is legal, although it is not lawful. You need to discover the difference. So I know that might put some people's hackles up, but see, the difference being between what is legal and what is lawful. So the reason that some of this is important is because when you start to see and understand the application of jurisdiction, you then, and you understand it scripturally, and you understand it from a spiritual vantage point, and then you understand it from an application standpoint, then you will see that what you end up having most places around the world, and what we've been experiencing in this country, in America, has not been a, it has not been a, we've been under a corporate takeover, core pirate, it's pirate, it's something that's come from the sea onto the land, and what we have is a core pirate structure that has been given an overlay made to look like a government, but it really is not a government. It is not functioning as a government, but under the maritime admiralty law, they utilize jurisdiction by our opting into it. And that's a very important piece to understand how the beast system works, is by our opting in. We have to give our consent in order for that system to work. And so when we, here's a very important step for the follower of truth to begin to apply on a spiritual level, on a mental level, and then in our practical dealings, I do not consent. When you start saying, even in yourself, I do not consent to that, what happens is that then you start to understand the paths to not have to consent to that system. A lot of people, what do? They go along to get along. A lot of people just say, oh, don't worry about that. I've heard that so many times in so many different spiritual and religious circles, and they just say, don't worry about that. But what you're doing is you are consenting to a system that at its core is evil, at its core is slavery, at its core is something that is anathema to the life of a free, sovereign human being here upon this earth. So let's look at this issue of jurisdiction for a second. Okay, let's go to, so last time we discussed Romans 13 and Daniel 3, and we put it in the proper perspective, right? So of when and where it's appropriate and when and where it is absolutely inappropriate to be part and parcel of that system, when you have to be, as a follower of truth, you have to be, the truth has to be your highest gauge. So, and your highest litmus test for that which you are asked to do. So then now let's go over to John. Let's see here. 1 second. Saith unto him, behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, and they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto him, take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou that I have the power to crucify thee and the power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldst not, could, couldst not have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat, in the place he called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto him, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. That's a very, very, very important statement made in that situation there. And from that point forward, everything went from there. Verse 16, Then delivered he him thereafter unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into the place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the midst. Okay. Verse 15 is the one that I want to focus on for this point here. The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Now, back to the spiritual principle of authority. So here, in this particular situation, you have a representative, an authority representative of a certain jurisdiction, which is, you know, and that chief priest there in that particular situation, before the representative of the Roman Empire of the day. And actually, when you go back to that Revelation 13, when it talks about the seven, this and the ten crowns and all of that stuff, you know, many people go back to even the reference of Rome, because Rome was the city on the seven hills, right? So that being a reference even potentially of that, there's, now here's the thing about scriptures, there's layers, right? There's multiple layers of this, so many times, you know, people see something and they take something literal, they take something subjective, they take something, but just for the sake of understanding, let's just reference this in terms of Rome was referred to as, you know, with the seven hills, and that was part of the reference point for that. So when, now if that is set up and established a certain way, and they hear, if you have the high priest answering, We have no king but Caesar, where now is the authority structure of that nation giving their allegiance and establishing the authority for which the people that are under them now are subject to? They have now, so in that particular case, where they've gone is they've put themselves under the authority structure of Caesar. And out of the authority structure of the Most High in that particular situation. Now, what would happen there? If that was how everything played out, then for an individual to want to actually connect with the Most High, they would have to step out from the jurisdiction of the high priest to connect with God again, because the jurisdiction of the high priest has now sworn itself to something else. Now, when did that end? I don't ever see that having ended. And throughout time, from that point forward, so this is where it comes down to the individual. And this is also when Jesus said there's going to come a time when you're going to get, they're going to kick you out of the synagogues. He didn't say, you know, for you to leave. He said they're going to kick you out. They'll kick you out. You know, they're going to persecute you. They're going to do all these things against you. They think that by doing them against you that they're doing God a service, but that's because they don't know me. So this issue of how simple decisions that people might make along the way have massive implications for themselves in both what they end up doing, seemingly small decisions or very short decisions in a very short period of time end up having decades, centuries, millennial consequences as a result of those decisions and those choices. Where you choose to bring your allegiance, where you choose to bring your loyalty, where you choose to put your jurisdiction. So inside America, back to this same case, if you look back and see what happened in this country, so 1776, a lot of different things that ended up happening, the Civil War, 1871 was the beginning, which is 150 years ago. That was really the beginning of the implementation of this maritime admiralty law system over as an overlay in America in replacement of the U.S. Constitution. And that was part of the way that they've been able to continue to bring in more and more and more statutes and that's very different than what's the law of the land. And so when we start, so, you know, back to, and let me use this whiteboard again here to draw this out. So, you know, when we've got, so let's say I'm just going to draw this character in the middle of this. I'm going to have to talk the visual through as we do this. So we talked about your parents, right? Let's talk about, you know, let's give another example. Say, you know, here's Walmart, okay? Or here's a store, something like that. Now, you go into that place has a certain jurisdiction. You walk into that place, there's a code of conduct, there's a time frame, there's a certain thing that you end up committing yourself to by choosing to work there. Now, that jurisdiction of that place only works, you know, if that place was requiring you to do 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, no time off, then there's other violations that it's doing. So then you start getting into the next level out. You know, so you've got like your city, you've got your county, you've got different levels that this goes out. So what happened here in America was, if this was this larger circle, if this was the U.S. Constitution, and if that was there, what happened was, in Washington, D.C., they created another jurisdiction within a jurisdiction. And so there's a jurisdiction within a jurisdiction. So people think that they're inside the United States, but really what they are is within another jurisdiction within the other one that's based on statutes and maritime law, which is not the same thing as the U.S. Constitution. So let me see if I can find this one thing to share with you here in this regard. I'm just going to read you a small section from one of these books that I recommended. This is from the UCC Connection. All right, so I do recommend people order these books. They're pretty cheap. Okay, this is on page 28. All right. But in the legislative democracy over Washington, D.C., Congress is not limited by the Constitution. Congress has executive rule over the District of Columbia and its people. You remember last week we talked about taxation without representation? Nobody out there could tell you why. Okay, this is why. The legislators in the District of Columbia can make the law by a majority vote because the District of Columbia is a democracy, wherein their administrative agents enforce their own laws and the administrative courts in their government try their own laws. Here we have the legislature making the law, enforcing the law, and trying the law, all lowercase, all within the one branch of government. This is a one branch government within a three branch government. Under the three branch government, Congress passes laws which must be in harmony with the Constitution. The executive enforces these laws passed by Congress, and the judiciary tries these laws passed by Congress pursuant to the Constitution. The three-branch constitutional republic and the one-branch legislative democracy both called the United States. One is the continental United States, The other is the federal United States, in brackets, federal zone. Okay. Are you a United States citizen? I'm just going to read a bit more. If you say that you are a United States citizen, which United States are you referring to? Anyone who lives in the District of Columbia is a citizen of the United States. That remaining population in the Union of the 50 states are national citizens of the nation. We are domiciled in the various sovereign states and protected by the constitutions of those states from any direct rule of Congress over us. In the democracy, anyone who lives in the states known as Washington, D.C., Guam, Puerto Rico, or any other federally held territories is a citizen of the United States, in brackets, D.C. We must be careful with our choice of words. We are not citizens of the United States. We are not subject to Congress. Congress has executive rule over a given territory, and we are not part of that territory. Where did Congress get the authority to write the Internal Revenue Code? It was found in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the Constitution. To pass that law, they only need a majority vote. There is no other way that they can pass laws directly affecting individuals. Title 26, the Internal Revenue Code, was passed as a law for a different nation. Remember our definition of nation. Title 26 is not consistent with the Bill of Rights. If you try to fight the IRS, you have no rights. The IRS code does not give you your constitutional rights. It simply says you failed to file an income tax form. You failed to perform in some specific manner. Remember, under the common law, you are free to do whatever you want to do as long as you do not infringe upon the life, liberty, or property of anybody else. If you do not want to perform, you do not have to. The only way you can be compelled to perform under the Constitution of the Continental United States is if you have voluntarily entered into a contract. But if you are not under a contract, you cannot be compelled to perform. You cannot be compelled to file an income tax form. When Congress works for the Republic, every law it passes must be in harmony with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But when Congress works for the legislative democracy, any law it passes becomes the law only over federal territory. If you are charged with willful failure to file a 1040 income tax form, that form is of and for a different nation. You're a non-resident alien of that nation. It is a foreign corporation to you. It is not the Republic of the Continental United States coming after you. It is a foreign nation. The legislative democracy of a foreign nation is coming after you. I'll just read this last paragraph. If you get a notice of a deficiency from the IRS, it is a presentment from the federal United States. So you can use the UCC to dishonor it, and you can tell the IRS that you are among the national citizenry of the continental United States, that you are a non-resident alien to the federal United States. Anyways, I could go on with this one, but and my encouragement to anybody listening to this is learn. Spend some time learning these things. Don't just go and take this and run off and get yourself into a lot of hot water because you heard this one part. But take the time to learn and to understand, because the scriptures tell us my people perish for lack of knowledge. Not for a lack of resource, not for a lack of sunshine, not for a lack of a lot of other things, but for a lack of knowledge. So we need to learn, know, understand, and apply. So the thing that we see from this is that these schemes of the devil. Now, the thief comes but for what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is John chapter 10, verse 10. And Jesus says, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Well, how does he steal and kill and destroy? Well, one way is, it's not just the it's not just the Hollywood, guy with a mask and with a gun. These levels of theft are far more sophisticated, far more advanced, far more deliberate, and far more time-consuming. And the people of the light should learn and understand and then apply knowledge to how they then untangle themselves from that harvesting beast parasitical system that set up, that is anathema to the kingdom of the Most High and to the plan that the Most High has for us. So, so legal versus lawful, these are things that people need to look into. That a lot of this has to do with our consent. And also it has to do with, when you look at that system that's come out of the sea and onto the land, it has to do with evil, it has to do with deception, it has to do with putting in a level of legitimacy, it has to do with word magic. And word magic is a very important thing. They can say one thing, but does that one thing that they say mean what you think it means? So like, for example, if you have an enforcement officer of the corporation coming up to you saying, which is, you know, many times people consider that a police officer, you know, but really, you know, under the Constitution, it's just the sheriff, so those are the ones that have the responsibility for upholding the law of the land. But the police in many situations are enforcement agents of the corporation. Now, many of them are great people. They don't know what they're actually doing. But they've been trained and taught legalese. And part of the legalese that they've been taught is to say, do you understand? Do you understand? And what they're saying is, do you stand under the jurisdiction of the statute that I'm bringing to you? And by you saying yes, now what you're doing is you are submitting yourself and consenting to that jurisdiction within a jurisdiction. So you're putting yourself in there by, so the simple thing is, no, I don't understand. No, I don't stand under. I don't stand under in this particular thing. If you have not harmed somebody, if you've not stolen from somebody, if you've not harmed somebody, if there is no victim, if there is no true crime, if there is, then what is, why are they talking to you? Why is somebody actually talking to you? If and so in that particular situation, what they've done is created thousands and thousands and thousands of statutes to tie people in knots and then to harvest from them. And then when the people, when they, this is where all of these quote-unquote mandates came from in these last 3 years. Mandates are not laws. They're not laws. They're not lawful, I should say. They're statutes, but they're not lawful. And so when those, that's why they're falling apart right now, is because people are beginning to question them and then bring them to task, and then when they can't survive. So this is also part of the, when people start to understand, this is why brute force is one of the tactics that are used against the people too. You know, when they start to lose control of the people, then they start to use some of those tactics. And this is why it's important that all of us are taught and learn to apply, because if you just leave it up to a handful of people to do all the thinking for you, they go after that handful of people. This is why it's important for everybody to learn and to begin to apply this learning for themselves. The use of maritime, of this corporation, and you look at what it's actually ended up doing. So back, you remember back to 9/11, you know, what ended up happening and the whole narrative around the Patriot Act, 80,000 pages plus ready to be signed in just days. You know, I mean, who wrote that? You know, I mean, we know how long it takes to write, you know, a 20-page proposal or a document. Where did this 80,000 pages come from? There's still been, it's 2 decades plus, and it's been, those have been there. And what has happened when it came to, so the whole premise of, before this it was all about freedom, and after that it was all about security and all about safety. You know, the narrative that we were sold during that time is you remember Bush, they hate us because we love freedom, right? Okay, all right, well, let's do that. Let's see where that went. But really, in the end, what was necessary was a... Here's the thing. When a legacy controller construct doesn't have the power to actually deliver and to fulfill their plans and agendas, they must control the minds. So that's why propaganda is so important, because they do not have the ability to brute force their way through the people. If you want brute force your way through the people, look what happened with the Khmer Rouge, you know, in Cambodia. There's brute force your way through the people. When you can't do that to the people because the people are armed, because the people have learned, because the people don't trust you, now you have to go after their minds. And that's where the entire mind control, think about how many good people signed up for the military after 9/11 because they thought their nation was attacked. And now today itself, there's a lot of questions, even because that's not gone away. Who attacked this nation? There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions that are unresolved. To this day, steel buildings do not do what happened on 9/11. You had three buildings collapse at free fall speed, and there are videos emerging to this day that don't show planes. So, you know, and now I know that there's controversy around that, but you have to then look at the facts of there's architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. Where did those guys go? There was an entire group of thousands of architects and engineers that came out and said, this is impossible for this to happen. And that group just disappeared as time went on. But they brought out the facts from structural engineers and architects and designers that said, you cannot have three buildings free fall like this and come down inside their own footprint. That does not happen, period. But what was the outcome from that event? A lot of people got rich on insurance money. A lot of people shorted stocks in United and American Airlines. A lot of people went to war, and a lot of people died, and nations were destroyed. That's the action that ended up taking place from the corporate overlay during that time. Nothing has been adjudicated. No true truth and reconciliation has happened or taken place. None of this has been brought up to the surface. So the question then happens as you look at the continued decline in this country, more and more statutes, more and more control, more and more draconian interactions over the people in this nation. Now, you look at one more thing about how this whole thing has been able to happen and take place. You know, next object lesson here, I got this one I'm going to show you. Here is our currency. So this is our $1 bill. And if you look at this, what it says on this bill, first of all, if you look at the back, there's all kinds of Masonic and the rest of those symbols, but this one thing I'm going to point out is this phrase here. It says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. This is not money. This is an instrument utilized to allow you to exchange with others for the purpose of not settling things with money, i.e. gold and silver, which was in the original Constitution. Or now what that allows you to do is to offload your debt until a future time. So you exchange debt notes. And in order to exchange these debt notes, what it ends up doing is then also allowing you, because of your participation in it, then they say now you are getting a benefit, so now you're also now implicitly involved in the underlying system. This is how, quote-unquote, money has been used to also get the people themselves into and not realizing what they're participating in. This is also why the value of what people are seeing happen to themselves this day in America is the value of what they have in these debt notes is being stolen away, because this is an open system. And the ones that create that system have the ability to steal the value out of it as they please. So this is why people holding these notes find that today they buy less and less and less of the goods and services that they require, because the notes themselves are a scheme. They're evil, and they're utilized in a particular way. And by people participating in it and not understanding what they're participating in, this is why the people themselves, you have to have a system of value exchange that maintains the value. That was what this nation was set up on. And the evil banking system that came in as with the corporate overlay in this nation, what it did was bring a system like this in place and got the people to use it so that they could then extract the value from them. That's why the banker said, if I have the ability to give to mint a nation's currency, I care not who makes its laws, right? Why? Because the laws don't matter. They can, you know, in fact, this is another form of how slavery worked. When you have a slave, you have a laborer, you now have to also maintain that laborer. You have to feed them, you have to clothe them, you have to make sure they have housing, you have to do all of that. When you control the medium by which the labor is exchanged in, you don't have to do any of that. But you still have a slave. and you have a slave because they participate in the medium of exchange, and you don't. So this is more sophisticated slavery. This note right here is more sophisticated slavery as a result of people utilizing it, and they don't even realize where the value of their labor is being extracted from. We've all seen, for anybody that's traded in stocks, we've all seen how a stock can be diluted, right? Well, okay, so case in point, you know, the US dollar, it can be diluted in a moment. And that's part of the plan that the legacy system is working to do against the people of this nation. And this is why it's important that the people of the nation realize what's actually going on, so that they themselves can go from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, out of the maritime system of admiralty law and into a system that's based on natural law, spiritual law, the law of the land, that which is and everything that is in true law supports that transition. But we have to make that transition with knowledge and with understanding. The things that allow for the beast system to work, maritime law, admiralty law, Babylonian money magic, our ignorance and laziness, you know, their force when they don't get their way, and also the controllers that are behind the system that have a vested interest in perpetuating and keeping that system going to harvest you. The biggest reason that that system is allowed to keep going is because we, in the past, have consented to it and allow ourselves to continue to participate in it. So what did the Most High say for us? Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That is the instruction. And how we work out that path and how we go forward into that, that is part of our journey from scarcity to abundance, from fear into sovereignty, from a slave into a king. And every one of us is a child of the Most High, and that's the way that we should live going forward. And so with that, my time is up, so let us pray and we will close here. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you, and we just ask you that you would bless this word and bless our time. We are grateful for it, and we ask that you would continue to teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth as we go forward. And we bless your name and we bless each other. In Jesus' name, thank you.